Good evening and welcome to a very special night with the Black Crowes. Stay with us for the next 90 minutes as we bring you the world premiere broadcast of the Black Crowes' new album, The Southern Harmony and Musical Companion. From Southern Track Studio in Atlanta, Georgia, I'm Willard. When the Black Crowes came on the scene in February of 1990 with the release of Shake Your Moneymaker, it was obvious that the music world had heard a new band that would have a lasting impact over a new decade. With over 4 million records sold, 5 top 5 tracks, 3 of which went to number 1, on the top 100 for over 2 years now, and a sold-out tour that took them all around the world, the Black Crowes have made their mark. The Black Crowes' lead vocalist, Chris Robinson, will be taking you through their second release, The Southern Harmony and Musical Companion. And then the band will give us a live sample of the musical magic that's made the legacy of the Black Crowes. Before we get started, let's give you a taste of some of the incredible musical moments from the Black Crowes' first multi-platinum album, Shake Your Moneymaker. I'm Willard from 96 Rock here in Atlanta, the hometown radio station of the Black Crowes. And now, let's talk to the controversial lead singer of the Black Crowes, Chris Robinson.
Well, the record was recorded in Atlanta, Georgia, at a studio with lots of knobs, dials, speakers, instruments, rolling papers, all the things you need in a studio. And we did it in about 8 days or so. All of it was live, all the band tracks. I sang some of the tracks are live. I sang some over and stuff. But basically, we just went in and did it pretty quickly.
Do you think that's kind of a different recording style than most bands are using nowadays?
Yeah, it's pretty unorthodox, I think. And especially the way the record sounds, which we use, you know, analog gear, and so you still get things like tape hiss and sounds that are real, you know, as musicians play them. Manipulating their instruments, it's a pretty novel concept that we've happened to come across, but it works. So it was really quite a whirlwind experience.
Let's talk about a track on the album. Let's talk about Sting Me.
Sting Me is... There's a line that says, if you feel like a riot, don't you deny it. You know, that's to me saying, if you want to go to the show and you want to smoke a joint and you want to hang out and jump up and down with your friends and have a good time, and a little security guard tells you to, you're not going to do, you're going to sit down. You know, there's thousands of people in that hall, you know. You do what you want when you're there. You paid money to go see it, you know. The policemen do what they want. You know, they go home and get drunk and smack their wives, or they take the drugs out of your car and go home and roll up a joint and have a big smoke and a laugh at your expense, you know? So I think, if anything, there's a lot of people of a generation who, when a good time maybe is in front of them, that you need to grasp it and take it, you know? Because there's a lot of people who don't want you to have a good time.
We're back with lead singer Chris Robinson of the Black Crowes.
Tell us about the title of the album and any meaning behind it.
The title of the record is The Southern Harmony and Musical Companion. And I'm sure there's a meaning. I don't know what it is. I mean, I mean, I think it has something to do with that I don't think people have ever grasped the real sort of vibe that we have about being Southern, which was never to do really with Southern rock music. It was more of a... just a feeling. So I think that title represents it. You know, I stole it from a hymn book. So I'm sure there's something wrapped up in the gospel about it.
Chris, tell me how many songs are on the album.
I think there's 10 songs on the album, 9 of which Rich and I wrote again, and we did one cover, a Bob Marley song called Time Will Tell, but we did it a little different than his arrangement. So, yeah, again, it was me and Rich doing our thing.
There's a lot of talk out there that you and Rich have difficulty sitting in the same room together for any given period of time. So how do you write music together?
Well, that's a good question. Rich and I's relationship, I mean, it seems like we can pull it together about once, what's the expression? In a blue moon, I believe. No, this actually, I think Rich and I are probably better friends than we have been. But, you know, still, there's a lot of... I guess, for lack of a better word, tension, you could call it. And violence results out of that sometimes. But I also think interesting emotional music comes out of it, you know. And this time I think we're closer because Rich, I think, out of anyone, really has stepped outside of himself to open up and give his most sort of, you know, emotional playing thus far.
I'm Willard. Welcome back to the world premiere broadcast of the new Black Crowes CD, The Southern Harmony and Musical Companion. In just a bit, we'll hear a live set from the Black Crowes in the studio.
Chris, I know that you felt very strongly about the first album. What are your feelings about this album? It must be pretty personal to you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't think I could use comparisons between this record and the first record because they're two totally different things. The first record were a bunch of kids, really, that wrote, put together some good songs and used to play them to no one, you know? I mean, for a couple of years there. And then you get a record deal and go out and do it. Whereas this record, I think, is more, comes from young men who've really, if anything, have become more militant and less complacent, even with the success of the first record. So, I mean, I think that really is just whitewashed all over this album. It's more aggressive, and yet in the same sort of strange stance, it's more gentle, too. I don't know, it's very weird.
Well, the public responded pretty quickly to Shake Your Moneymaker. How do you think they'll respond to this record? Do you think they're going to get it right away?
I don't know, man. I don't care, you know. I mean, if I was going to try to guess the public, I would be a politician, and then we'd all be up It's Creek, really. I don't know. You know, if they dig it, they dig it. If they don't, maybe they'll dig the next one. I don't know. You know, I mean, this band is such a day-to-day sort of existence anyway that, you know, when it comes out and people hear it and people see it, and if they like it, they'll go buy it. If not, they might like the next one. You know, who knows? We never really put any expectations that much on the first one. I don't think we should start now. Our expectations are we expect to continue to move as a band. I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily forward or sideways or backwards, just continually to be in a different place, frame of mind.
Now, I don't know if you want to discuss this, but I heard that one of the women that was singing background vocals during the recording of the album actually quit during the sessions because she thought that the band was under the influence of what?
Wow, I don't know. I'm sure we were under the influence of something, but it was sounding dizzy. No, she actually, what I wasn't even aware of it till later. I thought it was pretty funny. She, from what I heard, didn't dig. You know, we still always have had candles around, and they're Santeria candles, you know. So she didn't dig those too much, and just the freaky people running around and, you know, whatever else goes along with being freaks. And, you know, she just didn't dig it. Lights everywhere. And I think some of the lyrics made her upset. And but she was a sweet, sweet person, sang beautifully. But I just don't think she got the whole Black Crowes move into the studio for a couple weeks vibe.
All right, let's talk about one of the great songs on the record, Sometimes Salvation.
No, that's a nice one. Sometimes Salvation, I don't, you know, I don't really even know what that is. I know it's pretty desperate, but it's, I think that song is really just about methods to madness, you know, like leave whatever works alone, you know? It seems like sometimes in the music industry that people like to use, you know, I mean, everyone uses everyone, so it's not really anything different, but it's sort of like if there's an, you know, any other sort of artist, whether they be a painter, sculptor, writer, whatever, their pursuit and their inner whatever you call it, when it's joy and extreme happiness, when it's depression and pain, you know, the difference is there, and the different avenues in which to explore those, though, that's sort of let go, and that's what you do. But when you're a musician and people make millions of dollars off of you, there's a lot of people sitting around going, whoa, man, you know, you better be cool and look at these figures, and you need to be sober and shalala. Well, you know, no, you know, I'm not here to make everyone a lot of money. I'm here to, you know, write songs and okay, hang with my band. So I think that's what that song is really about, not really changing your ways.
How does it make you feel that a number of women that have heard this song, hear this story, that women have heard this, have been seeming to come to tears at the end of it. Is that something you care about?
Well, they know how wrong they've been to all the men in their lives. Great. Helen Reddy. People who look like Helen Reddy will be lining up at my house after I say that with pitchforks.
Let's talk about you and the band being more in control on this release as far as when the record was released, the track that was going to be released first. How do you handle all this while a lot of other bands don't seem to be as much involved? And do you feel that you always have to be so involved?
Well, I don't know if I've ever thought in terms of why do we do this and no one else does. I mean, I can guess at it, you know, but I don't like it when people make generalizations about what we do. So usually I would like to stay away from doing that. I mean, so when I speak of them, I don't know if you can't say all the bands, you know, but if anything, the Black Crowes, I don't think that we have ever lied to anyone for anything. That's the difference. And I don't think we really have let greed motivate us one bit. Success has been nothing but a chance to sort of have the time and wherewithal, and you're sort of instead of getting wrapped up into the other aspects of it, it's nice to know now, like, well, this is our band and we put it together and we're gonna call the shots. And then also, you don't have to pass the buck, you know? I'm not the kind of person that if my record doesn't get played or doesn't go to number one, that I'm going to sit around and start yelling at record labels and get on stage and start saying, hey, well, my record company, blah, blah, blah. You know, I think all record companies are equally obnoxious, you know? So why would I waste my time speaking about how obnoxious mine is, you know? I'd rather get up there and play our songs and have a good time, you know? So it's different.
Another great song and another long song from the album is called Thorn in My Pride. Tell us about that one.
Thorn in My Pride, that song's really sort of about a dream to me. I remember writing it in some hotel room somewhere, like in one sitting, all of it finished right there, without even hearing the song that Rich came up with. But there was like, he wrote, well, but he like sat down and wrote it at the same time in his room. It was very strange. But I think if anything, that's just a gospel song, you know? No right or wrong, just a feeling, you know, that there is right and there is wrong. You do good things, you do bad things, you know? How are you going to deal with them at the end of the day?
We're at Southern Track Studio in Atlanta, and let's join the Black Crowes live for the Southern Harmony and Musical Companion world premiere.